This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
أنا الفقير إلى رب البريات أنا المسيكين في مجموع حالات.
Brothers and sisters, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gave us the opportunity to act upon these ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Al-umratu ila al-umrati kaffaratun lima baynahuma wal-hajju al-mabrur laysa lahu jaza'un illa al-jannah. Umrah to another umrah. When a person he performs umrah in a specific month, till the next umrah that he does, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told us it's a kaffara. A person's sins are being expiated and forgiven in between these two umrahs. Then he told us the hajj that is mabrur, laysa lahu jaza'un illa al-jannah. It doesn't have a reward except for al-jannah. We explained yesterday that the meaning of mabrur is huwa al-hajj alladhi lam yukhalithu al-atham wal-ma'asi. It is the hajj that is not mixed with sins and also transgressions and things that a person does. Today inshallah ta'ala, I want to speak about the different tawafs that we will all be doing. The different tawafs that we will all be doing. Because very, very easy for a person to become confused and maybe yatahawanu, he easily may leave off these tawafs that are very, very important. The tawafs, brothers and sisters, are of three types. And brothers and sisters, we need to be very, very attentive because these are very, very delicate issues. And it requires maybe to note down the benefits today because it's more technical. Yesterday was a reminder, we mentioned benefits, some heart softeners, but these are very technical things that we need to be aware of and be muntabihun laha. We pay attention to it. We have three tawafs as mentioned. You have the first type of tawaf that all of us we done when we came into Mecca. The first tawaf is called Tawaf al-Qudum. Tawaf al-Qudum, which was the one that we done. The second type that you have is Tawaf al-Ifada. Tawaf al-Ifada. Then the third type of tawaf that we are going to be doing inshallah ta'ala is called Tawaf al-Wada'. And inshallah each one I want to explain further. The Tawaf al-Qudum that we done when we came into Al-Mecca, it is a tawaf for the hajj, the haji, the one who is performing the hajj. It is mustahab for him. It is a sunnah. If the hajj, he didn't do that tawaf, the tawaf that we done, his hajj is still correct. This tawaf is mustahab. What does mustahab mean? If you do it, you get rewarded. If you don't do it, you don't sin for it. And there's a difference between tawaf that is mustahab, sunnah, and a tawaf that is wajib. And I will explain all of this inshallah ta'ala. Also this tawaf, brothers and sisters, we connected it to what? A sa'i between Safa and Marwa. We done the exact same thing that a person would do when it comes to Umrah. Okay. When a person, he goes to Umrah, let's just say maybe for Ramadan, or he goes in the Easter holiday on April, he performs a tawaf. It is the same tawaf that we done. But what did I mention? That this tawaf is mustahab for the haji. But the person who is only performing Umrah, his tawaf that he does, it is a ruknun. It is a pillar. If a person, he comes out in Ramadan, or he comes in April in Easter, that tawaf he does, it is a pillar. If he leaves it off, his umrah is not right. His umrah is not correct. But the tawaf that we've done now as a haji, because we are hujjaj now, and we will be doing other things in the future, inshallah ta'ala, it is a sunnah. If you left it off, then your hajj is still fine because you're going to be doing the actions of hajj later on when we started. I hope I haven't confused you, but inshallah I will recap later. The second type of tawaf, it is the most important tawaf. The first one we can forget about it because we already done it. It is called Tawaful Ifada. It is the most important tawaf that you will ever do in your life. This is a tawaf that we will be doing later when we finish or at the end of our Hajj. When we go to Mina and we also go to Arafah, we go to Muzdalifah, we come back to Mina and we throw the Jamarat. After that, there's a tawaf, which is a ruknun min arkan al-hajj. What does ruknun mean? Let's just say we have a house. It has five arkan. It has five pillars. Rukn in English means pillar. If you take away one, what happens? The house breaks down. The whole thing becomes demolished. Likewise, when it comes to our hajj or any other ibadah, when you hear ruknun, it is a vital, crucial thing of that specific ibadah. If that rukn gets taken away, our hajj is nullified, is void. Likewise, Arafah, when we go to Arafah, it is a ruknun. But all of that I will explain later, inshallah ta'ala. Habba, habba, slowly, slowly. I just want to discuss a few things today and then another thing tomorrow and the day after another thing. So this tawaf al-ifada, how do we know it's a ruknun? It's a pillar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said in the Quran, وَلْيَطَّوَّفُوا بِالْبَيْتِ الْعَتِيقِ. Do the tawaf around the Baytul Atiq. Atiq is from the names of the Kaaba. From the names of the Baytullah al-Haram. Wadih? The Mufassirun ajma'u ala anna al-murada min hadhihi al-ayah huwa tawaf al-ifada. They have unanimously agreed. There is a consensus. What does ijma' mean? We know that we take our religion from three places. The Quran, the Sunnah, and the ijma'. Ijma' means when the scholars or the Sahaba, they have unanimously agreed upon something. All of them, they are in agreement. All of them, they have come together and they have taken a certain position. So you have the Quran, the book that we read, where we take our religion from. The Sunnah, and we also have the Ijma'. And here you find that the Mufassirun, they said that the intended purpose, the meaning of this verse, وَلْيَطَّوَّفُوا بِالْبَيْتِ الْعَتِيقِ, it means the Tawaf al-Ifada. Likewise, Imam An-Nawwi, Ibn Qudama, and also Ibn Qudama, Ibn Abd al-Barr, all of them, they said it is an ijma' that the intended purpose here is tawaf al-ifada, and it is a ruknun min arkan al-hajj. It is a ruknun min arkani al-hajj, the tawaf al-ifada. Also what happened is, brothers and sisters, one time Safiya, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, her menses came at the time of hajj. It was the time of the month when her menses came. Aisha radiallahu anha, she said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Safiya, she's on her menses. Her time of the month came in the Hajj period. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Ahabisatnahi, has she now stopped us from leaving? Has she now done something called habs? Habs means if you are now stuck. Has she now become the reason that we are stuck, we can't go? Meaning that if she doesn't do this tawaf al-ifada, we cannot leave. So we ask the question, has she now stopped us and also stopped us from leaving? They said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he afadat. She has done her tawaf al-ifada. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, let her go. If she's done her tawaf al-ifada, let her go. Just to show you now that this tawaf, if a person doesn't do it, if he doesn't do the tawaf al-ifada, then he cannot leave. He has to do the tawaf al-ifada. It is a ruknun min arkan al-hajj that we all need to be very attentive to. What happens now if a person leaves? He hasn't done his tawaf al-ifada. This person, he came out for hajj. He done everything except tawaf al-ifada. What the scholars say, وَجَمْهُورُ الْعُلَمَاء, the majority of the scholars, they say that if this person has gone, let's just say for example we went to Medina after Hajj, and there is some people, they never done tawaf al-ifada, they say he has to put his ihram on again and he has to go back and do that tawaf al-ifada again. If a person now, he goes far away, for example, we go back to Britain, we know we can't go in and out, right? You need a Hajj visa. You have Hassan al-Basri rahimahullah ta'ala, who said that he needs to perform the Hajj again. And likewise Ibn Hazm rahimahullah ta'ala, they both said he has to perform his whole Hajj the following year. Which is a serious thing. Imagine you pay £3,600 or £4,000 or even more. You leave of this tawaf and because of it you have to do it all again. The third type of tawaf, brothers and sisters, it is called tawaf al-wada. It is known as the farewell tawaf. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, "La yamfiranna ahadakum hatta yakuna akhiru ahdi bil bayt." One shouldn't leave until the last thing he does is go around the Kaaba. This tawaf is called tawaf al-wada and it is wajib. It is wajib. We mentioned there's three, right? Tawaf al-Qudum. For a haji, it is mustahab, it's a sunnah. If he leaves it off, no problem. There's nothing upon him. He doesn't need to do anything. Then you have the second thing, tawaf al-ifada, which is ruknun min arkan al-hajj. If a person doesn't do it, his hajj is in tatters. The third one, tawaf al-wada' that I'm speaking about now. The Prophet said, one, he shouldn't leave. La yamfiranna ahadukum hatta yakuna akhiru ahdi bil bayt. Until the last thing he does is what? Tawaf around the Kaaba. And it is a wajib. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he said, "Umirna an yakuna akhiru ahdina bil bayt." We were commanded that the last thing that we do is going around the Kaaba of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Illa annahu khufif an al-ha'id. Except you find that the ha'id, the woman who's on her menses, let's just say for example the hajj is finished, she done her tawaf al-ifada, and then that time of the month comes where she is on her menses. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Qad khuffifa 'an al-hayd." That woman, she doesn't need to do it. It has been forgiven for her. She doesn't need to do it. Okay? طيب. A mas'ala that comes up now, and it's a very frequent, common asked question. Sometimes you find, and it might be the case with us, that the time between us leaving and the tawaf al-ifada, it is a very small time. When we come back from the Ramy al-Jamarat, we might have maybe approximately 24 hours. And I mentioned two tawafs we need to do, right? The tawaf al-ifada and the tawaf al-wada. And we only have 24 hours. It's going to be very, very crowded. I have never ever seen in my life a place become so crowded except after Hajj here in Mecca. Every year we see it. It is very, very crowded. And you have to do two tawafs. What do? Does a person now do tawaf al-ifada? It might take him 5-6 hours to finish off his a'mal al-umrah. And then after that he does tawaf al-wada' again. What the scholars have said, because the hadith said what? The last thing that a person should do before leaving Mecca is to go around the Kaaba. Scholars like Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala fi riwayah, as Ibn Qudam rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned, and also Muhammad bin Salih al-Uthaymeen, rajahu, they mentioned that one can combine between tawaf al-ifada, which is a ruknun, and the tawaf al-wada', which is a wajib, with one intention, and perform that around the Kaaba. Brothers, sisters, are you with me? Or is it a bit? Is it a bit too confusing? You have tawaf al-ifada, right? And I mentioned we might only have 24 hours. How is a person going to do tawaf al-ifada and tawaf al-wada' in the space of maybe 10 hours before we leave? It's very, very difficult. It gets very packed out. The scholars, they say, if a person now, he latens it all the way till the end of his journey, his trip, there is no harm for him making the one intention, to make his intention for the tawaf al-ifada, them two both, before he leaves. I will explain later as well, inshallah ta'ala. Might be very difficult to understand, but as we get close, I will try to break it down again. But these are the three tawafs that the person needs to do. You have tawaf al-qudum, tawaf al-ifada, tawaf al-wada', which is a wajib min wajibat al-hajj. Okay. That which I want to speak about, inshallah ta'ala, is more pertaining the tawaf now. When a person now, he wants to perform the rituals of Umrah and Hajj. Because there's some actions that we've done before in tawaf al-qudum that you don't need to do in tawaf al-ifadah. When we came into the Kaaba or into the Haram, we took our hands out. We took our right hands out and we put the ihram on top of the left hand. We done something called iltiba'. It is called iltiba'. And also what we done was something called the ramal. When we was going in the first three ashwat, the men, they were jogging. Do I need to do that for the tawaf al-ifada as well? The correct position is that the ramal and also taking your hand out is only and specific for the tawaf al-qudum. You don't need to do that for tawaf al-ifada. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he said, لم يرمل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في السبع الذي أفاض فيه. Ibn Abbas said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he didn't do ramal. Ramal means to jog. As you can see, people, they start jogging. The Prophet never done that in the tawaf al-ifada. He didn't do it. So it's only specific for tawaf al-qudum. To take your hands out and also to do the ramal. What about for the women? Do the women need to do ramal? There's a unanimous agreement, al-ijma'u, bayn al-ulama, that the woman, she doesn't do the ramal. La hawla al-ka'bati, not around the Kaaba, and also in Safa al-Marwa, she doesn't do it. Why? Because li'anna tatakashaf. She, like, her running around, you find that her body becomes apparent. And the Sharia has come to hide the body of a woman. So this is not for the woman to do ramal. You will find women in Safa al-Marwa running, and also around the Kaaba running. But the reality of the matter is that it is only for the man, and it is not for the woman. What does a person do when he now goes into the Kaaba? Tawaf al-ifada, we want to, inshallah ta'ala, do it like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I will try to, inshallah, walk and mention the sunnah. And when I mention sunnah, wajib and rukna, we should be able to differentiate between the three as we mentioned. That which you find there's a lot of controversy about and a lot of people have misunderstanding is when I reach the Hajar al-Aswad, I'm going around. I have started my tawaf. Where do I start it? I have to start it at the Hajar al-Aswad. If I now enter into Bab Malik Fahd, I am maybe halfway between the Hajar al-Aswad and the Rukn al-Yamani. Is it okay for me to just carry on like that and start my tawaf? La. You have to start at the Hajar al-Aswad. You have to start it there. If you don't start it there, then that tawaf, that showed that you done, that circumambulation of the Kaaba, that specific one, it is not counted. So you have to start at the Hajar al-Aswad. If you started halfway through and you go into the Haram, you have to wait until you get to the Hajar al-Aswad and then start again. Start from there. What do? You face the Kaaba muhadiyan laha. You're in parallel. You move your body till your body is in front like this. To the Hajar al-Aswad. The first one you say, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar. The first one. You say Bismillah. People you will find they say Bismillah in all of them. But the correct one is, you only say Bismillah, Allahu Akbar in the first one. Okay? Tayyib. Which ones do I touch? Which ones do I not touch? Pertaining the Hajar al-Aswad, let me just, inshallah ta'ala, stick to the Hajar al-Aswad. Hajar al-Aswad, there are three things that we can do. Hajar al-Aswad, there are three things that we can do. The first one is the kisses. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, he said, إِنِّي لَأَعْلَمُ أَنَّكَ حَجَرٌ لَا تَضُرُّ وَلَا تَنْفَعُ. I know you are a stone, you don't benefit nor do you harm. وَلَوْلَا أَنِّي رَأَيْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يُقَبِّلُكْ مَا قَبَّلْتُ. Had I not seen the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kiss you, I wouldn't have kissed you. So it's a sunnah, something the Prophet done, and we try to do it. And the Prophet would try and do it every shot. Shot means every round. But obviously we can't do it now, and I'm going to explain and mention a very important point pertaining it. We can't do it. It's very difficult, it's very
crowded. The second thing that a person can do, if he manages, is to touch it. When you're going around the Kaaba, to touch it. And the third thing that even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam done, if a person has a stick, he gets the mihjan and he touches it like that. That's three things. Also, what a person can do is, after he has touched the Hajar al-Aswad, he can kiss his hand. ثبت عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, as Abdullah ibn Umar رضي الله عنه, he mentioned. You can kiss your hand in the hadith al-Sahih. Okay. A common thing that people tend to do is, every time they do, they say, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, and they kiss their hands. هذا أمر محدث. This is something that has no deleed pertaining it. To kiss your hands while you are going round, when you reach the different shawl or the different round, it has no deleed. Na'am, if you touch the Hajar al-Aswad to kiss your hand, good, jayid. But if you're going round and you're nowhere near the Hajar al-Aswad to kiss your hands, this has nothing to do with the Sharia. There's no deleed for it. Let's now talk about the Rukn al-Yamani. Rukn al-Yamani is, you have two Ruknayain al-Yamaniyain. Two that are facing Yemen. One of them is Hajar al-Aswad, and the other one is another Ruknun, is another pillar of the pillars of the Kaaba. Also, yushra'u fihi al-istilam. It is permissible for you to, when you go past it, to touch it like that and to keep it moving. Not to kiss your hand, not to get a piece of cloth and rub it on there. All of this you will find around the Kaaba. People getting cloth, rubbing it on there, kissing it. كل هذا ليس له دليل عليه. There is absolutely no proof to kiss it, to rub yourself on it, to make dua around it. There's no deleid for it. As for the other two pillars of the Kaaba, ركنيين الشاميين, then you don't touch it. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never done it. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never done it. One thing that I want to point out, brothers and sisters, is something that I see every year. People fighting to go to the Hajar al-Aswad. La shak. There's no doubt pertaining the one who kisses the Hajar al-Aswad. It is a big fadila. You get great reward. Your sins get forgiven, as it came in the hadith. A person's sins, his minor sins, they get forgiven. And it's mustahab. It is a sunnah. It is not wajib for a person to do it. Something common that you find is people doing or hitting others, harming others to do the sunnah. We know in our sharia that you cannot do something that is haram in order to do something that is mustahab. Are you with me, brothers and sisters? To do something that is haram in order to do something that is sunnah. Me hurting someone, elbowing him. I've seen someone get elbowed in his eye and he got a black eye. Just trying to get to do something that is sunnah. It's important, it's a very good thing to do. When you're going to hurt someone, our sharia doesn't allow it. To hurt someone in order to fulfill a sunnah. Likewise, pertaining to the woman. Sometimes you find a woman, she goes in there, between men. She comes out sweating, her hijab is ripped, her abaya is ripped. And you can see parts of her body. Does the sharia really tell you to do something that is sunnah? And on the way to doing that sunnah, you fall into haram, or your body becomes yani open and it becomes uncovered. Also something that we should advise the women, those who are doing it, to maybe abstain from it. The other thing I want to mention, inshallah ta'ala, brothers and sisters, is pertaining wudu. The tawaf, do I need to have wudu, do I not need to have wudu? And I'll mention very important principles, because you will find that it is a very common asked question that people tend to ask all the time. When I'm performing the tawaf, what happens if I break my wudu? Do I need to have wudu when I go to it? And etc. First, we need to understand, كما جاء في حديث جابر من صحيح مسلم, without a shadow of a doubt, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed the tawaf, he made wudu. He done it. But one thing we need to know, brothers and sisters, and inshallah it's a principle in
أو قاعدة من قواعد الأصول الفقه أصول الفقه. If the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم done something, does it become wajib? If the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم came and he performed wudu, what do I understand from it? Is it wajib? Is it not wajib? We know مجرد فعل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يدل على الوجوب. If the Prophet done something, it doesn't show it is wajib. It is a sunnah. But if the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم came and he commanded, he said عليك بكذا أو وليفعل, or he commanded you افعل, then it becomes wajib. It becomes wajib. If he commanded and he ordered you, and the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم did not order a person to make wudu, he didn't order someone to make the wudu. We mentioned before that the Prophet, he said, he commanded a person to do the tawaf. The last thing that he does is a tawaf. It becomes wajib because he commanded you. Here, he didn't command it. So what we understand from the action of the Prophet, that it is a sunnah because he never commanded it. طيب. You have another hadith as well, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِنَّمَا أُمِرْتُ أَنْ أَتَوَضَّى إِذَا قُمْتُ لِلصَّلَاةِ. I have only been commanded to perform wudu ablution when I stand up for the salat. That's another hadith that they used to say that it is not wajib. Okay. But those who say that it's wajib, they use the hadith of, or they use what Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said. He said that the tawaf is like the salat. The tawaf is like the salat, except that you can talk in it. Let's just say, for argument's sake, we will now, inshallah ta'ala, take the safer option. We will take the safer option. When we go and we perform the tawaf, we perform wudu. And if a person, he believes it's wajib, he performs the wudu. I will give you a practical example that you will find yourself in a situation. When you go and perform tawaf al-ifada, you will find that the masjid is packed. Maybe it will take you a few hours to finish your tawaf. You are not even walking, you're actually just like this, taking steps around the Kaaba. Your wudu breaks. And you know if you leave the haram, you can't come back in. Why? Because there's police there. Sometimes they cover the haram and you can't come in. And you've done 3 rounds of the Kaaba. What are you going to do? Are you going to leave the Kaaba? It might be another few hours before you perform the 4th round. We have a qa'ida usuliyya fiqhiyya in our religion, a principle. أَنَّ الْمَشَقَّةَ تَجْرِبُ التَّيْسِيرُ. That when a person now, he goes through a lot of hardship in doing a certain act, he gets a permission to do something through ease. You find yourself in a situation where it is difficult for you to come out. And this qa'ida, brothers and sisters, is a unanimous, it's a ijma' upon it. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, وَمَا أَمَرْتُكُمْ بِهِ فَأْتُوا مِنُوا مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. Whatever I told you to do, then try to do it to the best of your ability. What are you going to do? Are you going to come out and break your tawaf? Rather, إِذَا تَعَسَّرَتْ تَيَسَّرَتْ. This principle is ma'roof. If it now becomes difficult for you, then the matter becomes easy. And it doesn't make sense for you to leave the Kaaba, and then maybe it's another hour or two before you do the 4th round or the 5th round. Rather, our religion has been made very, very easy. يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ. As Allah mentions, Allah wants to make things easy for you, He doesn't want to make it hard. Naam. So that's something, inshallah ta'ala, that we should be fully aware of. And also what Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala and other than they mention is, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he performed Hajj, he performed Umrah, and many people, they performed it with him. Not one time did he ever command them to perform the wudu. Not one time did he ever command them to perform the wudu. Take the safer option. Make the wudu when you're performing the tawaf. But how happens now when you break it? Are you going to leave the haram? Are you going to stop your tawaf? The religion has been made very, very easy for that person. Rather, what he does, he carries on and he keeps it moving like that, inshallah ta'ala. And then after that, what does the person do?
He goes to the Maqam Ibrahim. Maqam Ibrahim. It is where you have that goldish type thing next to the Kaaba. And again, brothers and sisters, you will find a lot of people, they are kissing it. They are touching it. They are rubbing their body on it. Earlier we mentioned the hadith of Umar ibn Khattab, and yesterday I mentioned, brothers and sisters, that hadith, you can write a whole book on it. Look now, look at our Sharia. In one part of the Hajj, what are we doing? We are kissing a stone. At the end of the day, that's only a stone, it's a Hajar. And when we go to the Jamarat, we are getting stones, we are throwing it. We are throwing it. Why one time we are kissing it, and why are we one time throwing it? None other, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told us to do it. If a person comes up to you and he says, "Akhi, it looks good, you won't, you know, there's no problem." Hudhayfa ibn al-Yamani radiyallahu anhu said a very, very powerful statement. He said, "Ma kana ashabu rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yata'abbaduna biha fata'abbadu biha." What the companions used to do, then worship Allah through it. And whatever they never used to worship Allah with it, then don't do it. Just the companions. Our religion is not aql. I use my brain or my intellect. I do what my mind tells me. Rather, our religion is tiba. If the Prophet done it, you do it. One time he kissed a stone, one time he threw the stone. And again, you will find this taking place with the Maqam Ibrahim. You pray behind it, إِذَا تَيَصَّرْ. But I will tell you, it is very, very difficult. Especially for Tawaf al-Ifada. To go and pray behind it is very difficult. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَاتَّخِذُوا مِن مَقَامِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ مُصَلَّى. Okay, where can I pray? Is the whole haram, can I pray there? Can I pray in my home? Can I pray in maybe Arafah? What the scholars they say is, in regards to قول الله تعالى, فِيهِ آيَاتٌ بَيِّنَاتٌ مَقَامُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ. Everywhere where the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam stood at, it is a Maqam Ibrahim. So you can pray it anywhere. إِنَّ مُضَافُ مُضَافُ إِلَيْهِ وَذَلِكِ يُدُلْ عَلْ الْعُمُومِ. Where everyone stands it. Whether you are outside the haram, whether you are on the other side of the Maqam Ibrahim, if you pray it, it's absolutely fine. But لا شك, it is better, أفضل, that you pray behind the Maqam Ibrahim. But if a person doesn't find, and he ends up maybe going outside, then there's no harm in it. And I can't remember the exact Sahabiya, I think it was Safiya. Safiya radiallahu anha, she prayed outside. The Prophet told her to pray outside the haram, outside the masjid. So there's no harm in that. طيب. Another action that a person does, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam done, فَأَفَاضَ عَلَىٰ رَأْسِهِ الْمَاء. And it's again, it's mustahab, it's a sunnah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he got water and he poured it on his head. Sunnah that the person can do. If you don't do it, no problem. And sorry, I forgot, what does a person do in the salat? You pray two raka'at and you just read قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ, and also قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. The Prophet done it, it's a sunnah. Then you pour it on your head. ثُمَّ تَتَّجِهُ إِلَىٰ أَيْنْ إِلَىٰ الصَّفَ وَالْمَرْوَى. إِلَىٰ صَفَ وَالْمَرْوَى. You start with صَفَ. أَبْدَعُ بِمَا بَدَأَ اللَّهُ بِهِ إِنَّ الصَّفَ وَالْمَرْوَةَ مِنْ شَعَائِرِ اللَّهِ. You read the ayah and you get on the mountain إِذَا تَيَصَّر. There's a jabal there. You face the Kaaba and you say Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد يحيي ويميت على كل شيء قدير. لا إله إلا الله وحده نصر عبده وأنجز وعده ونصر الأحزاب وهزم الأحزاب وحده. And this inshallah ta'ala, when you go with a group, you can find it, there's a screen there, the dua to read, and then you make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Brothers and sisters, please use this opportunity to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whatever you need. We have a lot of problems in our lives. Some of us, we have financial problems. Some of us, we have health issues. Some of us, our kids are running around in the sharia. This is from the places or the amakin where a person's dua is accepted. You have a number of places. You have Arafah, you have Muzdalifah, you have when you're throwing the Jamarat, a place that you stand and you make dua. And the fourth place is As-Safa wal-Marwa, where a person's dua is accepted. And the Prophet ﷺ told us this. to make dua in this place. After you read this dua, you make dua whichever you want. And you repeat it 3 times. The same thing you done in Safa, you do in Marwa, as it came in the hadith. فَفَعَلَ مِثْنَ مَا فَعَلَ بِالصَّفَى As the Prophet, as Jabir narrated. So you done this, but you have to face the Qibla. And likewise, when you go to Marwa, you can do that as well. Use it and don't waste it by making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in order for whatever you want for it to be fulfilled. After you do that, obviously, you do your halq, you shave your hair. For all of that, inshallah ta'ala, I will speak about it as the time comes, because the Yawm al-Thamin is when our Hajj starts. And I think it's on Thursday, right? I'm not exactly sure of the date. Huh? It's a Friday. I should know it, but... Huh? The Yawm al-Thamin, the 8th day of the Hijjah. We go ikhtilaf in the house. Huh? Okay, it's Saturday. People are saying Saturday. Huh? Okay, Saturday is when the Hajj starts, and inshallah tomorrow I will talk you all through it, what is best to do, what time we need to wake up and etc. And we'll take it on from there inshallah ta'ala. Another thing I want to inshallah say is, if anyone specifically from our group, they need my help, my number is there. Because I don't know, some brothers are saying like, no one's here, you, I don't see you, I haven't seen you for 1 week or 4 days. You know brothers, we like came here as well. I want to do ibadah, I want to go to the haram, you know, it costs us to come here as well. So I want to make the best of my time. So if you need something urgently, please call the number. As for me to stay here 24 hours or to stay here with everyone all day, then brothers, it's not fair on me. You're getting reward, you're at the Kaaba, and I'm sitting here by myself, not doing anything. So if there's something urgent, my number is there, please give me a call. I'm going to phone my dad as well, and we will try to fulfill it for you, inshallah ta'ala. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Tomorrow, same time, inshallah ta'ala.